God's guaranteed plan for you is to have all-round success. Therefore, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You are invited as you listen to the senior pastor, Daystar Christian Center, Pastor Sam Adeyemi.
Something that I believe would help us with respect to our relationships. Philippians chapter 2, we'll read verses 3 to 4. Now, the title is Building Quality Relationships. And we'll be sharing on these on Wednesdays this month. Because the essence of our naming it the month of positive connections is to improve our relationships. Many people fail and they don't realize that their failure is caused by the failure of their relationships. In fact, scripturally speaking, if you fail in relationships, you have failed. If you don't love your brother, for example, the Bible says, you don't know God. If you can't relate well with your brothers, you don't know God. Spiritual maturity in the Bible is measured by our ability to relate with others. It is measured by the quality of our relationships with others. When we still have habits like envy, hatred, anger, strife, the Bible says we are babes. And you know, you can't be angry without people around. It's people who actually anger you. You can't be envious of a car. If you have envy, you're having problems with somebody else. If they say you have strife, you can't be quarreling with your chair. Strife comes in when you begin to relate with others. Most of the time, hatred has to do with others. The Bible says when we're still responding to people at that level, it's still a sign of spiritual immaturity. So, the quality of our success depends a whole lot on the quality of our relationships. We are made for relationship. After God created Adam in the garden, the only thing that was left out, even after God said that everything was good, the only thing that was left out that was not good was the lack of someone to relate with in the natural plane. So man is not created for isolation. Man is created for connection. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 9 says, two are better than one. Two are better than one. One will chase 1,000. Two will chase 10,000. Deuteronomy 32 verse 30. Two are better than one. So, we can't do without relating with others. What two people will be able to do together, the two of them can never achieve separately. So we need relationships. But we'll just be picking some specific areas with respect to how to build quality relationships. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each one esteem others better than himself. Let each one of you, or let each of you, look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let me start by saying that true friendship can only be built on the foundation of love. True friendship can only be built on the foundation of love. We use the word friend frequently. And then sometimes we are shocked. After we have told someone, oh, so-so person, he's my friend. Then we are asked, where is he from? Which state is he from? Say, I think it's one of those northern states. Now, immediately, you yourself realize that you have called someone a friend, you have used a word that is too heavy for the level of a relationship. How can you call someone a friend? The moment you use the word friend, it connotes intimacy. And now, you are calling someone a friend, you don't even know where the person is from. You don't know where the person lives in Lagos. Like once I was asked, do you really know the person very well? I said, yes. Do they have children? I said, ah. All of a sudden I realized I couldn't tell whether the person had children or not. And I was claiming that I knew the person. And that should be one of the first few things you should know about someone anyway. If the person is a close acquaintance. So, genuine friendship can only be built on the foundation of love. Genuine, that's why I use the word genuine. Genuine, amen. Our society is a very social one. We relate a lot. So, the definitions sometimes are obscured. When a Nigerian tells you, "It's my brother," the brothership or brotherhood needs to be qualified. Because sometimes just coming from the same village is enough to make two people brothers. Now my brother. You will eventually find that no family connection at all. Just for the fact that they have come from the same place. Okay? But tonight we're talking about intimate friendship. Amen. And I want to say here, it can only be built on the foundation of love. Love, in this instance, agape, God's kind of love. And the quality about this love is that it is unconditional. True friendship can only be built on unconditional love. Unconditional love. Apostle Paul says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition. True friendship must be out to give rather than to get. In fact, true friendship must be out to give with the hope of getting nothing in return. True friendship must be out to give in the hope of getting nothing in return. Jesus said in Acts 20:35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And that must come to play in true friendship. Friendship will never thrive on selfishness. Friendship will never thrive. As long as we are focused on what to get. What will I get? When a relationship, because there is something to get in the first place, we will not be able to cultivate relationships that could be such a tremendous blessing to our lives. What is a blessing in a relationship? Remember again, Jesus said it is more blessed to give. So being blessed in a relationship is not about getting. Being blessed in a relationship is not having someone give you money, give you material things. That's not what friendship is about. If the focus in friendship is to get, it's an abuse of friendship. In that instance, we're taking advantage of somebody else. It's a parasitic relationship. We become parasites, feeding on other people psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, materially, and even financially. So Apostle Paul says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. We've got to be out to give rather than to get. True friendship must be focused on meeting the needs of the other person. True friendship must be focused on the other person altogether. That's very important. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. It says, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. So I hope you can see already that pride will hurt any relationship. Pride will hurt any relationship. as long as you're in a relationship where you feel that you are more important in that relationship than the other person, there's no way that relationship is going to work out. You can never develop intimacy in such a relationship. You know why? The other person will pick it. The other person will sense it. And there's no one who is attracted to someone in whose presence they feel inferior. It's very important. It's very important. Very important. There was a lady who carried out a research. She fixed dinner appointments with two powerful men, two powerful political leaders. The first night she met with the first person, and she came up saying, wow, that she came away from that dinner knowing that the man was a great man, realizing that the man was a great man. By the time she had dinner with the second politician, she came up saying that she came away from that dinner realizing that she was a great person. Two different results. There are some people you meet, you feel that they are very great. There are some other people you relate with, and as a result of that relationship, you realize that you are very great. So the point is that you don't want to be friends with someone who is in competition with you. You don't want to be intimate and close. You can't just be intimate with someone who is threatened by your success. Am I right? Each time you share a testimony, the person comes under stress. And before you know what's happening, it shows. I'm still going to touch on the specific area I'm going tonight. But it's very important that in a relationship we focus on the other person. And the Apostle Paul says here, the first thing is esteem the other person to be better. Esteem, see the good in the other person. Respect the other person. We'll still come to that later on in the month. Respecting one another's individuality. When you are in a relationship where you are trying to change the other person, the relationship will never work. You're trying to make the other person to be like you. Whereas the essence of relationship is complementing. So when I'm under pressure to change and I can't be myself because of you, the cheapest way to get out from under that pressure is to move away from you so that I can be myself. Let each one esteem others to be better than themselves. It says there should be no selfish ambition. And it says in verse 4, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. You know the interesting thing? The things you want for yourself, other people too want for themselves. And I've discovered the cheapest way to get what you want is to help enough other people get what they want. Amen. There are people who are doing poorly in business just because, number one, they have not learned to identify what people need. Nobody buys just for the sake of buying. They buy what they need. Now, until you are genuinely interested in somebody else, you won't know what they need. So what you are selling is useless. Sometimes, people need what you are selling, but they don't realize they need it, or they don't see how what you are selling will meet their needs. But the starting point is for you to understand what they need. And in every friendship, in every relationship, it's absolutely necessary. We have loads of us men who are in relationships with women who don't know a jot about what women need. And there are loads of women who are in relationships with men who don't know anything about what men need. When a marriage is built on the foundation of selfishness, it won't work. Selfishness. When we come into marriage focused on what to get, the man is out to get a few things. Number one, sex. The woman is out to get a few things too. Don't mind them, they are looking at me as if I'm not talking about them. The woman wants affection, love, care. But the guy too needs a few things. The marriage relationship becomes intimate and works and develops and matures simply by identifying the other person's needs and seeking to meet those needs. Now, it's remarkable if you have tried it. You will realize as soon as you just give the other person as much of what the other person needs as possible, naturally the other person feels under obligation to give you what you need too. Amen? And everybody around us has needs. There's no super person anywhere. Even God has needs. And there are many Christians who don't know. In their relationship with the Holy Spirit, they are focused on what to get. Lord, I need a shoe. Lord, this dress that they gave me, there's no handbag to match. I need a handbag. Lord, I need a job. Lord, I need... Anytime the phone rings and it is their number that shows on God's handset, He knows what they are going to say. Lord, I need... That's the first statement. The time has come. It says, the time is now. When the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. The Father needs worship. He craves worship. He needs praise. He wants to be appreciated. He wants to be recognized. He doesn't want to be used as a magic wand that you put somewhere on your cabinet or shelf in the house until today you are in trouble. God doesn't want to be treated that way. He has needs. If we can meet His needs, He will meet our needs. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added. Learn to satisfy God's needs. He will satisfy your needs. So this is a basic foundational principle for building quality relationships with God, quality relationships with our spouses, quality relationships with our friends. Let's be out to give and not to get. Now tonight, I want us to talk about communication. And one way to give in communication. Because the art of communication is critical to the success of any relationship. Communication is critical to the success of any relationship. Communication is critical to the success of any relationship. When I read through the book of Proverbs, I see that Solomon talks a whole lot about communication. He says, for example, in Proverbs 18:24, he that will have friends must show himself friendly. Okay, so it has to start from you. Now he says in Proverbs 17:9, that the person who covers a transgression seeks love. But he who repeats a matter separates very good friends. He who repeats a matter. I mean, how do you survive someone reminding you of your failure? He says, whoever cannot control himself, anybody who nags, will never be able to build intimacy in a relationship. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away anger, but grievous words stir up wrath or stir up anger. So we've got to learn to communicate in order to be able to build friendship. In terms of communication, there are four dimensions. In school, we were taught three. I want to dwell on the fourth one that they didn't teach us in school. In school, I was taught reading. In school, I was taught writing. In school, I was taught speaking, oral English. But there's just one dimension I was not taught, and that is listening. Amen? Have you ever taken a course before that had listening inside it? Okay. But I'd like to say here tonight, you cannot build intimacy in any relationship without the ability to listen. Listening is different from hearing. At least hearing here has to do with the thing entering your auditory canal. Okay? It enters. You hear some sounds. But listening is more than that. Listening is now exercising yourself spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, mentally, physically, to understand what the other person is saying. There's a mistake we make a lot of the time in communication. Our goal, usually when we discuss with other people, is to get them to understand us. Please remember Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 as we go on this evening. If you will apply those verses to communication, verbal communication, then our goal in communication should not be to be understood. Our goal should be to understand. That's why when someone is talking, we caught them midway. Wait. You don't understand what I'm saying. I want you to understand what I'm saying. You will never build intimacy on that. You don't build quality relationships on that. You are already displaying and exercising selfishness. This whole discussion is about you. The other person is wondering, what about me? Oh, you want me to understand you. You don't want to understand me. You too, wait. Understand what I'm saying. Amen. But the Bible is saying here, let's be focused on the interests of others, not on our own. Because you can't build intimacy as long as you are focused on yourself. So we've got to cultivate the art of listening. When we share our hearts with people sometimes, when we share our experiences, share what we're going through, they try to interpret our own situations by their own. It's like you going to an optometrist, someone who makes glasses, okay? Recommended glasses, okay? Medical ones, okay? I hope you understand what I'm saying. I'm trying to find terminology. I'm not an optometrist. Now, you describe what you're going through to the optometrist, and the next thing the optometrist says, Well, I think I understand what you are going through. Look, I've been using these glasses for the past 9 years. They have really worked for me. Oh yeah, use them. That's what we do in our discussions. Oh yeah, look through my glasses. Look through my glasses. And you know, each one has to be designed to suit each individual. Everybody interprets what they experience or what they hear in a different way. In fact, the reason why we have misunderstandings is because of differences in what? Interpretation. That's all. When I come across two adults who are arguing over a particular matter, I have discovered there's a word we use for it. We call it a misunderstanding. That's exactly what it is. Because usually when two adults are arguing over the same thing, I found out most of the time both of them are right. If your immediate response is to find who is wrong, sometimes you will be wrong. In fact, most times you will be wrong. Because sometimes the two of them are not wrong. They are right. But each person is not seeing from the other person's angle. That's a big problem. And in a relationship, you find out sometimes people want to impose their own view or perspective on the other person. And I'll tell you this, you will never be able to help a person in a discussion if you don't understand where the person is coming from. So that's why our goal in communication should be to understand others. It's not to force people or compel them or cajole them or harass them to understand us. Our goal should be to understand others. When Christ was around, he had problems a few times with his disciples. One day, he said, "Beware of the leaven or the bread of the Pharisees."
You know what they said? They said it's because we forgot to bring bread along. That's why he's talking like that.
What he was saying had nothing to do with physical bread. But they were not seeing from his perspective. In John chapter 11, he said, our friend Lazarus is sleeping. You know what Peter answered? He said, if he's sleeping, he will wake up. Then he said, the Bible says he now said plainly, our friend Lazarus is dead. Thomas said, if he's dead, let's go and die with him. In John chapter 4, he was discussing with a woman by the well of Samaria. They came, they said, we have brought your food. He said, I have meat to eat that you don't know about. He said, who gave him food? He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And to finish, their terms of reference were completely different. He was supernatural in his thinking. They were natural. But remember one quality about Jesus. That a lot of the time, people would not say anything, but the Bible would say that he knew their thoughts. He perceived their thoughts. He sensed what they were thinking in their mind. He understood their thoughts. He understood people. That's why sometimes without talking, Jesus will reply you. He had the capacity to understand you, to understand where you were coming from. You didn't even have to say everything. Jesus had the capacity to listen to people and to understand them. So I want to say this tonight. If you don't know how to listen, whatever you will say will usually be wrong. In Isaiah chapter 50, Isaiah prophesied about Jesus, verses 4 and 5. He said, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He said in verse 5, he wakens morning by morning, he wakens my ear to ear as a learned. I see a connection there. The quality of your hearing will affect the quality of your speaking. He said, he has given me a tongue so that I can know how to speak an encouraging word to the person who is weary, who is downcast, who is discouraged. But he said, this is how he does it. He wakens my ear to hear the way the learned hear. I hear accurately so I can speak accurately. So I want to say this tonight. If your diagnosis is wrong, your prescription will be wrong. If you don't understand what the other person is going through, if you don't understand what the other person is saying, your response will always miss the mark. Many parents don't understand their children because they don't listen to their children at all. They don't. Many people don't listen to their spouses. Many don't listen to their friends. Many don't take time to listen. I was reading about from a man of God, Ted Engstrom, and he was talking about how when their son was 21 years old, how one day he came in 1 a.m. He had gone out partying with his friends. He had smoked Indian hemp and came home, the son of a pastor. Busted into the house. The man said he was ready for him that day. He was going to give him the worst tongue lashing of his life. He said when the guy came in, he said, why are you coming at this time? He said the guy just started. So where else do you want me to go? I've been with my friends. What do you want to say? You know, for once, he just kept quiet. I was listening to the young man. He said he now found that just for listening for a few minutes, he now realized that a number of the things the young man was saying were right. So he just kept his cool. So the guy was just, so he said he realized that for the first time, he realized he had never listened actually to that guy. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But he had never allowed the guy to, as soon as the guy did not line up with their expectations of him as a KK or PK.
Is it PK we call them? Preacher's kids. Good. they have title, they have a slang, they have their own acronym. PKs, preacher's kids. You know, usually people's expectations of preacher's children are unrealistic. Simply because someone was born into a preacher's family, the person must be an angel. Even when they do things, a two-year-old that is a pastor's child, when they do things that a two-year-old is supposed to do, people are disappointed. And he's a preacher, he's a pastor's son. He's a person of Pastor Joseph. See the way he's behaving. Eh? See the way you are behaving, and you're a pastor's child. Just put unnecessary pressure on them. Okay? Unrealistic expectations. So, here was someone who was living in church. He was seeing Christians in church. He was seeing them at home. And he just made up his mind. He was not going to be. His father had never sat down to ask why this guy was beginning to resent church. A lot of the time, church takes preachers away from their kids. Amen. That's the truth. We can be so busy counseling other people, we don't have time. And sometimes the church takes preachers away from their wives. But if you've been long, if you've been here long enough, you will know that I've been fighting that. And I've made it clear. Jesus has his wife, I have my own. Okay. And that the church is not my wife. The Bible says that I should rejoice with the wife of my youth. And the church is not the wife of my youth. The church is the bride of Christ. I have only one wife. It's the same Bible that says that a man must have only one wife. Okay? And the Bible calls the wife of your youth, not old age. If I want to enjoy my wife, I better step now. Amen? So I try to get my priorities right. So sometimes, usually, people around us are trying to get messages across to us. But we don't understand their frame of mind. For once, this man said he was listening to his son. He said he just burst into tears. The pastor himself burst into tears. He said hot tears rolled down his cheeks. Why? For the first time, he took time to listen and to ask himself, what's this? Why is this guy behaving like? Why is he saying that? Is there some truth to what he's saying? For once, he tried to listen, and he said that day they broke the jinx. They developed a solid relationship, and the young man was snatched away from the hand of the devil. Because it took time to listen. Most times, when people are talking to us, do you know we don't listen? You know what we do? We prepare to reply. No, just check it out. As soon as someone is talking, instead of focusing on what the person is saying and trying to understand what the person is saying, what we are doing most of the time is preparing the reply. So, it doesn't now matter what the person says. The reply is ready. And it's not all the time that you can accurately use words to describe how you feel. Sometimes you need someone to ask you, is this what you mean? It's in the attempt to clarify it that you now get a correct picture across to the person. Amen? Is this what you mean? Okay, are you trying to say this? Asking questions like that is one of the most powerful ways to communicate to someone that you are listening. How many times have we had to break a relationship right in between? Maybe because of a phone call on the GSM or something. Then you hear the question, what was I saying? The person who was saying it and the person they were saying it to have forgotten. We don't listen. That's the truth. And if we're going to build intimate relationships, just try this out. Try it out. Be the person in a relationship or in a discussion who listens. Who listens fully. Take note, though. I said, listens fully. Spirit, soul, and body.